Fen reaches into the car, grabs her fucking spear, and starts walking away because the cops are on their way.
The murder weapon.
No, not the murder weapon, the other spear.
Yeah, I have the murder weapon, don't worry.
I'm gonna start following after Fen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, oh, I'm so worried, actually. I'm very worried.
Welcome to Reddington. Please remember to set your clocks back 3 hours next Sunday, then hop on 1 foot, then set your clock ahead 2 hours, walk counterclockwise around your house, otherwise you will wake up on Monday with a case of the backwards sillies. When we last left Jimmy, the Historical Preservation Society, Barry, and Fen, the crew had squeezed into Jimmy's car to follow the trail of a siren.
Fen's sitting, you know, like in a car, there's like 2 front seats, 3 back seats, and then like the 2 front seats, there's a space in between them. Fen's sitting in that space and like no seatbelt, backwards facing Barry to like keep an eye on him.
Well, he's got the headphones in, or the earplugs, and it's really kind of boring not being able to hear anything. So I think that he's like looking around. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing with their headphones in. Oh, this was shortly after all of us going, "What? What?" So at this point, he's just like trying not to lock eyes with Fen, who's just dead in front of him, staring him in the eyes. And just every now and then, just like.
As the car makes its way towards the beach, its riders spy a familiar face. It's Zoe, currently wearing headphones and beachwear.
It's very obvious that, like, Zoe is going to, she's wearing a, one of those, a pink bikini top and, just, swim shorts, and she's got a sun hat, so she's clearly, gonna go have some fun in the sun.
Barry awkwardly, avoids Fen's eye contact again, sees Zoe, goes, "Oh, hey, it's Zoe!" But nobody can hear, because everybody's looking away and has their headphones in. And then, Barry turns back to Fen and, waves his hands, yo, it's Zoe, and is, pointing out the window.
What? Oh!
Yeah.
Oh. Fen pushes Barry's head down, let's just keep down, then she won't see us.
Hey, should we warn this person that, going to the beach is a bad idea?
It looks like someone's going towards the water.
Yeah, hey, there's somebody going to the water, maybe. Morgan looks at.
Should we turn around? I feel like we might.
I'm gonna text Zoe.
Yeah, Morgan takes their headphones off, because they see that, Isolde is also talking, and they're talking too, so, they just take it off. Isolde, should we maybe tell this person to not go to the beach?
Yes, I think that's well within our purview to do that. Jimmy?
Fen has pushed Barry down and is sort of, trying to peek out the window to make sure that Zoe can't see Barry.
Yes, Barnabas tech Zoe, cap locks. Don't go to the beach! Ocean people! Emoji of a mermaid.
Because Zoe didn't see them, obviously, so I think this is when she, looks around. She's like, what the fuck? How does he know I'm going? And she, I think for a good second, she's just like, what the fuck do I even text back? What? And then just kind of sends a thumbs up, but she's still going to the beach.
I love that.
Upon receiving the thumbs up, Barry just puts the phone back in his pocket. We are.
So Jimmy pulls up to a stop. He pulls out his earphone. He turns around and he's got a couple of questions. Number one, Isolde, were you guys talking to a sword a few minutes ago?
You know what? That might be a conversation for another time.
Is that their imaginary friend?
You know, Jimmy, if you want to conceptualize it that way, I certainly won't stop you.
Okay, thank God. I just needed to know. And then the second thing is, did you see the person wearing the bikini walking to the beach, and it's, I believe, 9 p.m?
I saw the person in beach attire, and I thought, is that Zoe, right? And I'm turning to Fen and
Pull out my earphones. What was that?
Zoe from the bulletin. That was her?
Don't worry, I texted her.
You texted her?
Yep. What did
she say?
She gave a thumbs up. She's not gonna go to the beach.
Then I... crisis averted?
Oh, well, good. We don't have to do anything.
Are we sure that's what the thumbs up meant? That seems a little ambiguous to me.
I said don't go to the beach, and she gave a thumbs up. That seems like a yes.
Okay. Sounds like a yes,
so
yeah.
So if we're headed to the beach, then I'm sure we'll...
confirm if you want me to confirm.
I don't want to nitpick the operation.
Hey, Jamie, keep driving. You gotta get there.
Okay.
We're like four blocks away. I feel like we can turn around and look.
No, we need to get to the next.
Just doing a U-turn.
Guys, it's no problem. I can just reverse back up if you want to go pick up. What's this person's name? Zoe?
Zoe.
Nice. I can drive. I mean, there's no room here in the car, but...
I think she's a good person to have on the team.
Yeah. Jimmy puts it in reverse, starts moving backwards.
Yeah, Barry, just, pull your shirt over the rope leash so we can just, you know,
Barry awkwardly, like, takes off his shirt, puts it back on over the rope.
No. Jimmy slows down and goes, are we going shirtless? Let's go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the plan? That's fine. Bardwick takes it back off.
No. We're not even to the beach yet, and that's not the question.
Cover the rope. Cover the rope. Which is still definitely sticking out of your shirt, but
Fenn's... There's still the part that you're holding on to.
Fenn's trying.
Jimmy, in an inexplicably practice motion, pulls off his shirt as he backs down the street to intercept Zoe. He could not seem more chill.
He's an experienced driver. He knows what he's at.
So I just see this man, like, taking off his shirt as he rolls up next to me.
The stranger.
Barry is buttoning up his shirt as he's sitting next to Morgan.
Oh my gosh, this keeps happening.
So we reach out and Jimmy maneuvers himself so that he's got Zoe at the window beside him and looks at it and goes, hey, wanna ride?
Hello.
Ben leans backwards. Hi, Zoe.
What the fuck?
Carpool to the beach.
Sure.
All right, there's fucking monsters or whatever. Do you want to come?
Can't we not go, like, one day without some weird shit? I was just gonna have some fun at the beach.
Yeah, no, that's a bad idea, sorry. I don't really know you, but, like, honestly, don't go to the beach. There's, like, a lot of people disappearing / maybe dying / getting speared.
There's always people disappearing.
Yeah, but they're getting, like, killed by spears. Like, it ain't super cool. So,
Is everyone still wearing their headphones?
Oh god!
Everybody, I think everybody's.
I think everyone has taken one ear.
Yeah, for sure. They're off.
And the window's still down.
Oh no!
I got a rope around me.
Fenn's just gonna have to deal with that.
Delilah is on one side. Morgan's in the middle, and like Barnabas might be on the other side, maybe. Or is Barnabas in the middle?
Barnabas
is in the middle because Fenn's right across from him. And then Morgan on one side of him, and Delilah on the other side.
The middle is usually the smallest seat, and it feels like the group dynamic is that Barnabas sits in the smaller seat.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Delilah is in the rear passenger seat behind Isolde. They're the one person in the car who managed to get their earbuds back in time when the window was down.
They're smart.
Barnabas, Isolde, and Morgan are not so lucky, however, finding themselves once again lost in the rhythm. Zoe feels a different urge. As she starts to hear an unknown call, she feels a murderous urge rise in her gut. Fenn and Jimmy are good, at least. Right?
Super good, yeah.
The trio of entranced passengers feels the pull towards the ocean.
Okay.
I assume you're all buckled in, right?
Morgan unbuckles. Yeah, but like, why would we not unbuckle, right?
During the commotion, Barry leans forward and presses down on the gas.
How can you press on the gas?
Barry, how long are your arms?
Crawling. I mean, something stopped me, but crawling through the thing.
Fenn's in the way.
I know.
Fenn's directly in front of you.
Into the driver's seat floorboard.
Ah, fuck.
Face first.
They just unbuckle and they get out of the car and they start jogging towards the ocean because that sounds like... Yeah, let's go to the beach.
Yeah,
Isolde is going to follow suit after a moment.
Jimmy notices Barnabas, obviously, because he's trying to push past him. And he goes, he figures out that they're under the spell. So he does the first thing that comes into his head and he floors it. And he puts his foot down and he looks over at Finn and he says, Finley, I forgot you're on the cover. Finn, we need to wake them up. What do you think we should do?
Anything. And I think Fenn slaps Barnabas.
Nope, fair. Also,
he's climbing over them. I don't know.
We left Zoe, right? Like, was she in the car?
She was not in the car, no.
Yeah, no, we'll come back for Zoe. We'll come back.
Okay, cool.
I don't think Isolde's jogging. I think she's walking.
In the commotion, Delilah gets knocked out and slumps into the back seat.
There's a lot going on. It's a stressful day.
Barry's tall. It's a lot of pressure.
Finn slaps Barnabas, hoping to keep him from taking control of the car. And while that does stop his advance, he loses his balance.
I am still tied to Barry, so it'll be fine.
And Barnabas falls towards the open door.
Barnabas just fall out of the moving car.
No, he's on a rope. No!
Does Finn go with him? Oh, no!
Finn could let go of the rope, right? Or did they tie it to themselves?
I am also tied to you, yes. Oh, well, gosh. It's tied to my wrist, but that's... If I go, if that goes, I'm going.
Finn watches the rope unfurl and pulls taut, yanking their arms hard by the wrists.
Fuck, it is still tied to Barry.
And with a painful crack, Finn feels their arm break. Barnabas suffers some minor road rash.
Yeah, I have, it's at the very least dislocated and probably at this point broken. You know, I honestly, if Fenn eats enough of Nihilus's food, their broken arm will heal.
So, Jimmy realizes that it didn't work, possibly because the two other people just exited the vehicle very quickly. and he decides, he remembers back to what saved him. And we all know it was actually Isolde and Fenn. But he has decided that what saved him was Barnabas singing Danger Zone at him. So he... He turns the car, not overly quickly, just in a nice counting so he doesn't have to roll for it because he does not have a high cool. And he turns around and starts flashing the lights and turns his stereo up as loud as he can and hits play on whatever CD, because he's a CD man, that is in there. And it's Watermelon Sugar that starts playing really, really loudly. Because, you know, that's the vibe he's in. So it tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, guys. Really loudly. I want more berries.
Suddenly coming to, Delilah spots Morgan and Isolde making their way towards the beach.
Yeah, and I'm apparently out the car after my two idiot coworkers.
Morgan's just like happily jogging.
Whatever the is the lights blocking, like the car is now blocking the way to the water?
Yes, and I'm flashing the lights, honking the horn, and blasting.
Oh.
And that summer feeling!
Because, like, this happened very fast for Zoe as well, where she was talking to them 1 second, and then they fucking sped off. And she sees Fenn and, I guess, Barnabas, like, tumble out of the fucking moving vehicle. And suddenly now there's music and, like, honking. So this is all very startling.
Zoe may not have succumbed to the siren song, but she is still trying to damper down that sudden urge of anger.
This was a lot happening all at once. Like,
we haven't even faced the thing yet. We're just traveling to the thing has been such a danger.
So I think Zoe is going to try to interfere with the... I mean, whatever the fuck has everyone scattered at this point. So I think what happens is that because Jimmy has, like, you know, fucking floored it, and now there's, like, music and stuff, maybe that the car kind of, like, jerks to the right and, like, maybe just, you know, hits a pole, which falls down right in front of where Morgan and Isolde are kind of stopping them.
Zoe's gambit narrowly misses Morgan and Isolde, succeeding in snapping them out of their reveries.
Oh, damn it.
Morgan puts back their earbuds.
Zilda's gonna run up Zilda first and go, "Hey, you good?"
Just can't hear you very well, dear. I think that seemed like a hazard.
Don't think about it. It's fine. It's probably fine.
Everybody put their earbuds on. I know it's probably obvious. Yeah, perfect. Everybody who's not looking at me right now, I assume you have them on. That's good.
Good news. Barnabas is no longer entranced. Bad news. Jimmy has been knocked out completely in the collision. A warbled watermelon sugar rings out from the car stereo.
It's the last thing he said. Watermelon sugar.
I think Zoe's gonna try and gather everyone together and just be like, "Can someone please explain to me what the fuck is going on?"
I mean, this is great because Barry wakes up and Fen is sitting there cradling their arm.
Oh my goodness.
And why does Barry have a fucking leash?
Everyone has had the good sense to pop their earbuds back in.
You just all see Zoe, like, cursing y'all out, but, like, y'all can't hear her. Like, that's it. She's just moving emphatically, like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Zoe, ocean people.
What does that fucking mean?
Murders.
What is going on?
While nobody can hear anybody, Morgan's gonna walk to the unconscious driver, because we have one unconscious person on her hands.
Azolda's gonna follow.
And, like, they're gonna open the door, look at Jimmy, like, "Jimmy, are you alright? Didn't realize that the other earbuds are on." Monsieur, okay, they're gonna, like, straighten them up, look if there's, like, a bruise or anything.
Morgan administers first aid to Jimmy, successfully resuscitating the sleuth. He is going to be just fine.
Gently, gently pats his face and maybe pinch him?
Whoa, hey, where am I? What?
You're good, bud. Don't take your air, bud. You're fine. Everything's good.
Keep the ear plugs in.
Yeah, how's my car? Ow.
Sorry, Jimmy. It's totaled.
Oh, man. I don't even know what happened. I thought I was parked, and then somehow I hit a tree, and something hit me in the back of the head. Was that... Delilah, did your sword just hit me and knock me out?
At this point, Isolde, Delilah, and Zoe hear Benedict start yelling.
"I did hit that man. I did hit that motherfucker. Why don't you listen to me and keep me on a goddamn wall?"
"You just totaled his car because we won't keep you on a wall?"
"Not intentionally. Did you not just see the shit that we just went through?"
"Oh, but you did, didn't you? Oh, I am..."
"So who is that?"
"Oh, did you heard, you heard that?"
"Yeah, clearly. What
the
fuck?"
I'm just gonna hold out the sword.
Why are you giving me a sword?
Zoe begins to hear music creeping up from behind.
"Oh, someone turn off that stupid fucking music!"
The music calls to Zoe, "Don't you just want to fucking go to the ocean? Screw all of these people."
"You know what? Fine. Don't tell me. Fuck y'all." She's gonna turn and run.
Azolda's just pointing at the sword wildly.
Barnabas sees Zoe taking off. I think reasonably understands context. Headphones. Fen, thumbs up, unties himself from your wrist because feels really bad about what just happened.
"Oh, fuck, don't."
If Zoe is starting to run, Morgan's gonna try to grab her, like, as she goes.
As Morgan takes off after Zoe, the scientist's feet fall into the rhythm with Zoe, and they just keep running.
Barnabas takes off after both of them.
Fen grabs with their free hand, grabs the fucking rope and tries to run after him.
Zoe's whole mentality is she hears that stupid fucking music and she's gonna go smash the boombox it's coming out of. Like, that's what she's thinking of.
I think we just need to go in that direction. I really do.
Okay, guys. I agree?
Okay, so here's, Barnabas texts Zoe, "Turn around, bright eyes," hoping that one, it will make her turn around, and two, it will get a different song stuck in her head and help undo the one that he thinks is hypnotizing her and bringing her to the beach.
Oh, so what? Wait, so you just texted Zoe, turn around, bright eyes?
Yep.
I don't think she even knows that song, so she's just gonna be like, I think it just confused her enough where she like slows down, and then she turns around to Barnabas like, what the fuck does this mean?
Barnabas just like is giving you hands like, come back.
Meanwhile, Morgan just like passed beside you and keep going.
Barnabas emphatically points at Morgan like, get Morgan.
Do you want me to come back or get Morgan? I don't understand what... I'll try to grab Morgan.
Zoe shoves her hands over Morgan's ears, knocking the scientist to the ground, and subsequently tripping over them. Morgan shakes their head, realizing what just happened, and puts their earbuds back in.
Fucking damn it. I think they're just going to start blasting music like in their ear, like... Fucking tired of this.
I think that noticing that everyone has been like wearing something protective, like I think this is when Zoe's like, oh, okay, maybe that's a thing. Like I have to wear, and so she puts in her like earbuds and plays her own music. She was feeling good as hell, and then all this shit happened, and she's like, you know what? I'm gonna commit arson now.
So Jimmy flips out his little notepad and writes, "We should follow," and shows it to Isolde and Delilah. And I'm assuming we start to head towards them. But before we do, Jimmy reaches in, hits the eject button on the CD player because Fine Line is too good an album to leave behind. So he puts it in the case and sticks it in his back pocket.
I'm walking back to Barnabas.
Yeah, we all, yeah, like Morgan also walked back to like Isolde and Delilah, like a little bit sheepishly. Like
as soon as Morgan gets close, Delilah just like handcuffs her dominant hand, her non-dominant hand. This has been three fucking times.
Well, they're not gonna offer their hand, though, like, because you have to take it.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna grab it.
Increasingly bedraggled, the Siren Squad stands in the middle of the street, warmed by the gentle glow of a nascent car fire.
Barnabas texts Captain Crabgrass. Hey, fire.
If Barry untied the rope from Fenn's wrist, Fenn's just gonna hold out the rope to Zoe. Like, this is your fucking problem now.
She's gonna take it very confused, but, like, she'll take it nonetheless.
Points at you, points at the rope, points at Barry. Does sort of a tying sign with one hand.
Barry waves. Yeah, Barry then types out, heads up, told Captain Crabgrass about the fire department, fingers crossed, emoji. Shows it to everybody.
Morgan's also gonna pull out their cell phone, gonna start writing WTH is Crabgrass. Anyway, and after gonna get like, we should really, like, okay, they're gonna use their both hands, like, okay, we should really go to like the ocean or the next spot where we were trying desperately to go. Like, shows it to everybody, like, very intently, like...
Public transport, question mark.
Fenn reaches into the car, grabs her fucking spear, and starts walking away, because the cops are on their way.
The murder weapon!
No, not the murder weapon, the other spear.
Yeah, I have the murder weapon, don't worry.
I'm gonna start following after Fenn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, oh, I'm so worried, actually. I'm very worried.
Well, we're gonna start walking toward the next point where we're heading with the car, which is like toward the ocean, I think, right?
Zoe's just gonna pull Barnabas along.
Great, thumbs up.
Oh, I think so. This is the first time Zoe has ever seen Barnabas with his shirt untucked, and so he texts real quick, "Tuck in your shirt. We're not running a brothel here." And just like
Barnabas doesn't even think about the fact that you're wearing less blushes. runs to try to like hide behind the flaming car, probably like reaches the end of the taut rope and like and then just Lena awkwardly tucks in his shirt and comes back to the group.
Jimmy sees Morgan heading towards the beach, goes, "Not again," and tries to grab him to stop him. That's four times.
Morgan's like, What? No, I'm fine. And then, like, gesture towards the end cuff.
Oh.
Like, I'm fine, obviously, I'm end cuff.
Yeah, Delilah holds up the other hand.
I can't just...
Let's go to the beach, question mark.
Go to the beach.
Fenn texts back, already going, hurry up.
We all follow Fenn, hopefully.
And we're just all taxi. And then we go by an elderly person who's like, oh, young these days, all with their earphones, always texting, like, you know, because we're just all texting together.
They're just gonna see some of us like tied together and they're just like, oh
yeah, yeah. They look out the window at us, squint, and shut the curtains.
Like, they have leashes, you have handcuff, what a bunch of like delinquent.
Yes, an unseen elderly couple has in fact also called the police, prompting Crabgrass to text back, I know, where are you?
Showing the text.
Don't respond.
He's my boss.
He's your boss?
So Jimmy's just writing in his little police notebook. Like, Jimmy doesn't have a cell phone. He's all analog. That's why he wasn't aware that Morgan wasn't under the spell. Like, completely fine. And I also just, the two old people look over and realize that Isolde and Jimmy are both in their 50s at this point.
I'm just going to hand my phone to Isolde.
Gives a thumbs up. Starts trying to figure out who is everyone in the context properly labeled in the text messages.
Not
probably.
So it's texting all phone numbers.
Wait, whose phone is it?
It's Delilah's, so at least Morgan's is in there.
So it's set. Okay, so
everyone else is a mystery.
I see the Morgan like text block, and I look up and I point at Morgan with a smile, like, that's you.
Morgan just confused, like,
I'm just like,
why are you showing me this?
I'm texting Barnabas, you're a fucking cop?
Barnabas holds out the, like, one second finger and texts Crabgrass that he's helping civilians to safety and that Crabgrass should help take care of the fire, or call the fire department. And then he gets back to you and goes, yeah, we haven't talked about that?
She drops the rope and keeps walking.
Barnabas doesn't want it to drag and picks up the other end of the rope and follows.
Oh, like one of those monkeys that walks himself.
No, well, no.
He's a strong, independent Barnabas.
No, but I feel if Barnabas is doing like that, like Morgan has bad experience with just running away. Apparently, they're just gonna grab the leash.
Somebody's holding on to Barry at all times.
Yeah.
Barnabas gives a really sympathetic, like, thumbs up.
Yeah, Morgan, same. Like, we understand.
Should we just form a train at this stage? Like, actually hold hands and...
I feel like we are a train at this point.
We're kind of a train.
Whose hand are you grabbing, Jimmy?
Well, I want to grab Delilah's, but specifically so that I can get close to that sword, because I want to give it a bit of a warning about what's coming the next time I get a chance.
Well, there is one hand holding the sword. So is Jimmy just grabbing that hand?
No, I'm grabbing the other hand, but I'm looking at the sword, knowing nobody else can hear me. I'm like, listen, sword. I don't know if you're imaginary. I don't care, but you hit me, and it's coming.
What is this bastard talking about? That was not my fault.
Zoe, I think, has, like, jogged ahead to, like, meet Fenn, and, like, is just texting Fenn on the side, like, did you know he was a fucking cop?
Did you not know he was a fucking cop?
No, I didn't fucking know that.
He was a fucking... He was... I thought he was investigating me, like, months ago. Did I not tell you that?
Listen, do you think... Look at that guy and tell me that he gives you, like, a cop presence, okay?
You watch Barnabas in, like, a kindergarten chain.
Well, I mean, depends on the type of cop.
This guy's like... Like, I would sooner believe he's a doctor before I believe he's a cop.
He is a doctor.
He's what?! This man has gone to medical school?
hands back to the kindergarten line where, like, Barnabas is, like, trying to get a little, like, sing-song going.
Nobody can hear him.
Nobody can hear him, but you can tell looking at him that he's humming something.
He's just clean up.
Oh my god. Ben's just texting back like, yeah, you know, Barnabas Crawley... Police coroner. I think his mom writes books or something.
He's a coroner and his mom writes books. There's a lot going. Okay, you know what? Let's.
Oh, fuck you, motherfucker. No, you listen here, you piece of shit. Maybe I am imaginary. And maybe I'm about to imaginarily kick your goddamn ass.
Also, there's a fucking talking sword. Like, did you know about this?
There's a fucking talking sword?
Did you? Okay, alright. The revelations are coming out. That's cool.
Alright, look, I investigated Barry because he'd been investigating me. I thought... I I think he just thought I was a swamp person.
Why would he think you're a swamp person?
Why does Barry think anything's a swamp person?
Mid to late autumn got you in a funk, and you don't know what to do. Don't you fret none. We got the cure for what ails you. Hi there, Charlie Benedict here, owner and operator of Sammy Sasquatch's Pizza Paradise and Prize Emporium. If you can't seem to shake the fall foulies, then it sounds like you need a relaxing evening of dining and entertainment the whole family can enjoy. Courtesy of yours truly. Strapped for cash right now? We got you covered. Just keep your eyes peeled around town, and when you see one of our patented Charlie E. Benedict life-size statues, leave your business card for a chance to be our hard worker of the month, entitled to a free pizza dinner and $20 in arcade tokens. Don't be afraid, just slide that bad boy right in my right vest pocket. I won't bite. Only act quick, cause you never know when one of those suckers is gonna up and move on you while you ain't looking. Or maybe the trouble's that you got all this money but no time to be coming over for a pizza party. Well, that's no trouble at all. Introducing Sammy Sasquatch's Pizza Paradise Party Patroller. That's right, let us bring the pizza party to you. For a nominal fee, our highly prized experts will arrive right directly at your home with pizza, games, and one of our unique cast of characters. That's right, pay your deposit, work out your preferred games and characters, and you don't have to worry about a thing till we turn up in your backyard. To party! Or is it that you've already been to Sammy Sasquatch's too many times, and some of the charm is starting to wear off? Don't worry. A little constructive criticism never hurt us none. And we get it. Variety is the zestiness of life. Which is why we're proud to announce a new limited time event coming soon to our play place. Our very own Moth Mama wanted to take herself a little winter vacation, and we decided to invite y'all along. So starting on December 3rd, for a limited time only, Moth Mama's saying bye-bye to the Flatwoods Adventure and introducing y'all to the Confounding Canyon. All the same fun and excitement you're used to, all wrapped up in a whole new mysterious locale to lose yourself in. And there you have it. A whole slew of new ways to avoid the end of year sads with your pals at Sammy Sasquatch's Pizza Paradise and Prize Emporium. Whether you're new in town or just looking for a bit of a change, we're here for you, whether you know it or not. Remember, with Sammy and friends, the fun never ends.
One mercifully uneventful walk later, the team has arrived in front of a dark house with no lights coming from a window.
This is a kindergarten line where, like, we have, like, a map.
As you may recall, dear listener, Barnabas is not just a pretty face to be saved from monsters. He also has uncanny geolocation skills.
Yes.
Skills that have, in this case, predicted the siren's next appearance.
Barnabas starts throwing up, like, those, like, signs, like the hand gestures you see cops use in movies, but he doesn't know what any of them do, because that's not what any cops in Reading can do. So he's just, like, throwing up hand signs.
Can someone throw something at Barnabas's head, please?
Morgan raises their phone, like, what the fuck, can you please just chat, like, in the time?
Meanwhile, Jimmy looks up and starts moving left, then right, then moves back to, and then stops, and he's like...
Following this sign. Oh my god.
Barnabas just gestures at Jimmy, like, thank you. Texts into the group, this is the house. Prepare for the worst.
Like, Ned's ready? Oh yeah, by the way, we have a net gun. Gun net. You have net guns.
Fenn does not have a net gun. Fenn only has one hand, so they have their harpoon and that's it.
I just start, like, passing stuff out of my bag.
Jimmy takes it and goes, net gun, baby.
I don't even think that Morgan had a net, but did grab the spear though because it's cool.
Oh, Fenn real quick texts the group chat and texts though. Some sort of siren monster thing. Difficult to kill. Supposed to trap it with a net gun.
And bring it back to the ocean. Smiley face. Little wave emoji.
Take a gun.
Okay, so, Jimmy writes on his notebook, if we get this in the nets, how will we drag it to the beach? And then just shows it to Barnabas, because I'm assuming Barnabas knows the area.
For sure. Barnabas, like, holds out the map that, like, we've been following here, and just kind of, like, draws a path with your pen to the beach of, like, the route to take.
Morgan tugs on the handcuff and just, well, and the leash and just toward the door. Sorry, I have to think. Let's go in, I guess. And like, yeah, not sure with the leash. They're just like unsure that should I keep the leash? Should I not keep the leash? Looks at like Zoe and Fan away.
Zoe will take the fucking leash.
Looks at everybody, gesture toward the door, starts walking while looking at everybody toward
Zoe's
the door. Like,
follow,
are we
obviously
going in? Okay, perfect.
Zoe's coming in.
Delilah just big shrug, just follows along.
So, Jimmy's obviously gone into a lot of houses, so he goes up to the front door first and takes position on the right hand side of the door, because he always takes the right and Paul used to always take the left. And he does a hand gesture at Barnabas, which is take the other side.
Barnabas takes the other side and has his gun out.
His gun or his net gun?
Does Barnabas, oh, we all have net guns. Great. The net gun is out.
So many net guns.
Everyone seems really gung-ho. Let's see how they approach the house.
I try to look inside if I see something, actually. Like, are there windows? Is there movement inside? Is there noise that we can hear? No, we can't hear shit. Sorry.
Morgan cannot, in fact, hear shit. However, they produce a small device that looks like a laser pointer.
So basically, like, it reveals stuff?
Pointing the device at the house, a series of beeps, whirs, and clicks inform them that there are magical force fields all over the doors.
They're about to talk and then remember and text. doors is kind of closed. Windows are look safe though. Or back door. Windows are good. So somebody want to? They just
Barnabas is gonna try to push the window open and just see if it's, like, not locked.
The windows are locked.
Barnabas just holds up a fist like, I'm gonna punch it.
Morgan turns the spear they have the other way around, and they're about to break it and just, like, actually lower the spear, gets their phone again. Maybe we should knock first.
Barnabas just, like, looks around like, knock?
Jimmy at this point is going, next time I'm nodding at someone else.
Oh yeah, sorry, you took them off, and this is it, motherfucker, you could have.
No, just because he was like, we're all gung-ho, he was ready to bust in, and then people are stopping, and Barnabas is about to punch a window. He's like, okay, next time it's Delilah, he's getting the nod.
Who is, like, shaking her head no at the knocking suggestion.
Barnabas goes back to the window.
Okay, let's, well, punch the blunt part of the spear into the window.
With a well-placed jab of the spear they are carrying, Morgan shatters the window.
Climbing time. Oh, with handcuffs, that's going to be weird.
Yeah, Jimmy, before they climb through, Jimmy's shirt is still mostly unbuttoned. So he just undoes the last one and throws it over the top of the broken glass.
That's very smart.
So we don't take anything. He's been in through a few. He also just is completely body confident, so he doesn't really care that you guys can see him with his shirt off. He's just like,
Zoe definitely appreciates that because she's literally in a bikini top and shorts, so she needs the extra protection.
The solidarity, if you will.
As everyone climbs into the house, they are met with an unnatural darkness, as though any light is being sucked out of the room.
So so Jimmy points at one of the mobile phones. He obviously doesn't have one himself, and motions like this to suggest light. Maybe you could turn on the lights.
Yeah, sure.
Can Barnabas try to, like, magically light the place, since it seems like there's a magical darkness?
Going of fire.
Ideally not fire. Some twinkle lights fill all of the whole magically dark room.
Zoe is definitely, like, playing with them, just kind of like, oh, this is actually very cute.
they're all actually little jellyfish. Like, they look like those, like, little jellyfish babies. And so, like, when you bop them, they just bounce and they go...
Don't do that! Morgan's gonna be way too distracted!
that tracks tonight.
I shall name you Squishy, and you shall be mine.
The room is filled with light, and we see a bunch of dead bodies in this pretty twinkly fairy light.
Oh my god!
It's very cute, and then we go, oh no.
The room appears to be a giant living room. But it's completely empty.
Is there signs of anything in this room? Leaving this room? You're like being moved out of this room.
It looks like nothing has been in this house. It's been empty for a while.
I'm imagining like in Pride and Prejudice when they move out of the mansion and there's just dust covers over everything. But probably not that.
If, dear listener, that image leads you to believe this house is creepy, you would be not wrong. As if to prove that point, the gang sees a human hand reach out from behind a partially open door, curling around the door frame as though its owner is about to lean into the room.
I'm gonna try to, like, get to a vantage point where I'd have the angle when the door opens further to shoot the net gun.
Morgan says, hello? While not hearing anything, but still...
Delilah is just going to shove Morgan behind her back. Jesus Christ.
Jimmy instinctively takes up the opposite side to Barnabas, because, as again, he's going on instinct here. And also he's written down in his notebook for himself, he's written down, new iPhone, awesome light show. Because he doesn't believe in magic.
Man, these updates are great.
He moves to the other side.
Barnabas and Jimmy have sliced the proverbial pie and taken up positions.
So basically, Jimmy is covering Barnabas if anything goes wrong with Barney.
And where is Zolda?
I'm in there. I kind of have my pocket knife out. And I'm just doing a head count kind of at the back of the group to make sure everything seems on the up and up.
So that's the kindergarten teacher.
And Zoe was still holding the leash.
Yeah.
I'm keeping track of who's holding who, okay?
It's needed.
And Fen is through the window as well, just in the room with us, or standing outside?
Fen's inside and holding their harpoon in one hand, but not tied to anybody, and also broken wrist, so
yeah, I should notice that eventually.
Delilah is just providing cover to, like, both Morgan, Finn, and probably Isolde towards the back of the room.
Morgan has to say hello.
Yep. I mean, to be fair, we broke in. Obviously, we were gonna be heard.
And Isolde, Delilah, and Zoe hear Benedict.
What is that noise? What is that noise? Get that fuck. What is that over there?
I'm trying to see if I can pick up on what type of thing this hand is. Because that's what I'm attributing to the noise that Benedict is hearing.
As Isolde focuses on the hand, it takes a fishy, scaly, claw-like form. When she blinks, it looks human again. Meanwhile, Benedict starts yelling.
Turn out the lights! Turn out the lights! Turn out the lights!
Lights out! Lights! Oh, we can't hear each other. I start trying to swat them out of the air in view of Barnabas.
Zoe was playing with at least two of them.
Yeah, I was playing at least with one.
And I'm like doing like a no motion to Barnabas as I'm gesturing to the lights.
As Isolde flails, the door slams into the wall as a foot kicks it open.
Barnabas shoots the net gun at whatever it is.
That's a smart... Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The net finds purchase on the foot, pinning it to the ground.
Okay.
The net doesn't knock anything over, and after a moment, the same clawed hand Isolde was able to make out earlier plucks the net from the foot and throws it back at Barry.
And has the creature entered the room at this stage?
No.
I'm still trying to gesture to Barnabas to get the lights out, to get the, like...
Okay, I guess I'll turn them off. That seems bad, though. That seems like we're gonna be in the dark with a monster.
Benedict knows some shit. I don't know, man.
All right.
Speaking of Benedict, the sword is shaking in Delilah's hand.
I just, like, lift him up, like, what? Like, what the hell, dude?
As the last of Barnabas's light fades out, the foot, followed by a heretofore unseen leg, steps through the door, and the room goes black. Except for two eyes and a smile.
What are you doing? Bring it back!
Okay, so when he sees the eyes, the glowing eyes, and he launches his net, I want them to be knocked over and entangled. Because I think we can't actually hurt it.
Jimmy sees the eyes, look down.
Oh, you guys better have a fucking plan, because you definitely just pissed it off.
I'm holding up the sword. Look, if you're really gonna give us orders, you better be helping out.
How is this not helping out?
You're shaking.
Because you're trying to fight a siren.
Do you have any better ideas?
How about not fighting a fucking siren? Do you not know about sirens? You can't defeat that thing.
Then what do you suggest?
You get the hell out of here before you make eye contact with it.
As old as texting and as loud as she can in hopes that it might get through, is going eyes down, eyes covered, just over and over again, just loud as anything. But is texting at least to, you said only Morgan is a contact on the phone?
Fuck.
You see a whole bunch of, it's just Morgan's the only one that's in the contacts.
So I'm just texting, I'm texting whoever the phone can get a hold of, to keep eyes down, maybe get out, but mostly focusing on don't look at it. Like, don't.
The siren is on the ground.
Yeah, but, so it's down, Jimmy's not in the text group because, you know, he's analog, but he is going to get that new iPhone. And he's shot it, he's going to approach it, but he's been in similar situations. He's done a lot of breaches in the past. So he's looking around. He's not going to look directly at the thing. He wouldn't. He'd look around for a secondary threat. I'm about 7 or 8 feet from it. So I'd be on the right hand side if Barnabas was on the left hand side. I'm watching it and checking where I'm reloading with a second net, let's just say, and I'm looking at the entrance just to see if a second one comes in. Always wait for a second threat.
Let's see how Zoe handles Benedict's panicked shouting.
I want to use the sight.
The sight.
I'm trying to understand what the fuck is this creature. Like, okay, she knows it's a siren, but she's never seen one or, like, understood what they can do. So this is what's going to happen. I think Zoe, one, she drops the leash. And she, like, slowly starts walking towards it, using the sight just to, like, kind of get a read on the situation.
Zoe feels the connection to the siren deepen, followed by a wave of rage and the siren's voice in her head.
Oh, interesting. You can hear me.
All anyone else can tell is that the siren has gone very still and is looking at Zoe.
I guess I'm talking to it, because, like...
Are you looking at it?
Probably not.
You start hearing Benedict yelling.
Ah, fuck. What is she doing?
Eat my dick, Benedict.
Well, you certainly can't come join me in my soil when you get murdered by a siren. I don't let stupid people haunt things with me.
Fuck you. And I think she's focusing on that connection, and it's just like, hey, bud.
Yes? What are you?
I'm just Zoe.
Interesting.
What's your name? And I think what she does is she crouches down, like, in that kind of patronizing, like, way you do with children. But, like...
Is Zoe making eye contact with her? Because she is looking at Zoe.
No. Absolutely not. Obviously I heard what Benedict said, and so it's more like looking everywhere.
The siren encroaches on the crouching Zoe, trying to look her in the face.
Okay, yep, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, she's just gonna, she, like, even if, like, they're right, she's just gonna, like, kind of look away, just, like,
not looking. Well, the siren's pinned in a net, so it's not gonna be getting much closer.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're just gonna add another net if it moves.
So, my friends and I just want to take you back to the ocean, if that's okay.
Then, just let me go.
I think she's gonna text and is just like, this thing wants us to let it go back to the ocean. Do you think it's bluffing?
It's been fucking killing people.
Ask it what it wants. Ask it why it's here and why it got out of the ocean in the first place.
There's a lot of questions coming at us. Like, okay, so why are you here?
I felt a call I had not felt in a long time. I was sent to confirm if we're hungry, we're hungry. Let us have our food. We have taken what we want. We won't bother you for now.
What did it say?
So you're using a lot of we in that statement, and so I'm a little bit concerned. Is there more than one of you here?
The sirens start to get agitated.
If you're trying to take me to the ocean, then let me go home.
Okay. One second, bud. I'm just gonna text. This thing wants to go home. I am very close to it, and I do not feel safe.
It's been fucking killing people.
It says it was food?
As Finn texts, they see a shadow completely obstruct the streetlight. Eyes stare back at them through the window.
Finn's gonna text the chat. I think we're locked in here. And also say out loud, if you want to go home, you should have gone before.
Tell your friends we were owed the food. We only took what we were owed.
Who owed you food? We have a restaurant in town. You could have just gone to the Gilded Pheasant. Nihilus, like, you know, does, like, a really fantastic creme brulee. Like, he carries a fucking torch with him all the time. Like, I...
As Zoe says this, Finn feels a clawed hand come to rest on their shoulder. While most of the room is focused on their phones, Jimmy notices the second siren's silhouette obstructing what little light has filtered in from the window.
Jimmy's looking over that direction. He can't see, but he knows that there's something there.
Fen's gonna take a breath and say out loud, because I know no one can hear them, I'm sure you want to eat people, and that's, you know... At this point, I don't care. But we eat things like you for breakfast. And Fen is going to roll up their left sleeve. And it's a dark room and no one can see, but they're assuming the sirens can see because the sirens are getting around great. And Fen personally is maybe not scary, but what Fen has just revealed is scary. Specifically to monsters also.
Fen feels the hand squeeze their shoulder. Everyone who can hear him hears a more collected Benedict.
We know of your organization, child. You should contact them to understand who we are and why fighting is a bad idea.
We're going to be talking about that later.
I think Zoe assumes it's like to her, and so she's just like, thanks, Weird Sword. I don't think I'm part of an organization.
Thanks, Weird Sword.
Whatever. And I think what she's gonna do is she's gonna hold out her hand to the siren and be like, I can help you get to the ocean if you promise not to kill my friends and I.
Zoe is met with silence. Then,
we have taken what we were owed. If you let us leave, no one here will be harmed.
Totally fine. Yep, okay. I think she's gonna do this real quick. So she's just gonna text a group chat. Alright, cool. I'm gonna take it to the ocean. And then, like, pocket her phone because she knows everyone's gonna be like,
just,
what the fuck?
It just blows up with just a bunch of messages. Like, what? What? Yeah, no. Yeah. What like, are you talking? Don't trust these people.
What are you saying? What is she saying?
She's gonna hold out her hand.
I don't know if that's... I guess it's what we wanted to do, but that's a little bit of a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Finn feels the pressure on their shoulder release. They and Jimmy can see the streetlight filter in through the window again.
So Zoe is just gonna, like, hold out her hand for the creature to take the hand, but I don't know if that creature will do that.
It is in a net.
Oh, like, is it really all that tied down? I thought it could still, like, move its... Okay.
Morgan feels the spear in their hand begin to pull away, lifting up and aligning itself with Zoe. After a moment, it shoots out of Morgan's hand and into the siren.
I was concerned that it was about to fucking stab Zoe, considering she's... And I was so concerned.
Me too. That's, yeah, same.
That would be ruthless.
So I was very scared it was going to go through Zoe, and I was like, yeah. No.
A moment passes. Jimmy is able to make out a flurry of movement as the siren casts off the net. Everyone sees the eyes rise up.
Raz is taking over in this instance.
Realistically, Jimmy would shoot here unless somebody was to stop him. So, So Jimmy readies his gun, but like it, there are people close enough who could put their hand. Does it matter? Like, if somebody was to stop him, he wouldn't fire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she just yells out, like, just kind of tries to knock the gun out of his hand and yells at him to stop, even though it probably won't get through the earplugs. I'm trying to push it far, just out of his hands.
Isolde manages to knock Jimmy's gun away, and the siren takes the opportunity to move inches away from the detective, claws out. Zoe hears,
"It would be wise for your friends not to attack me now."
Oh, okay.
The siren circles the room, sniffing at Morgan and then Barnabas.
"This one is trouble."
This is such a bad idea. Raz takes Todd out of Barnabas's back pocket.
Motherfucking Todd! Yes, yes, yes!
You all remember Todd, dear listeners. Chekhov's sardine from the first part of this mystery.
And holds it up like you dangle a cat toy in front of a cat. And throws it across into the other room, expecting the siren to chase it, because it's ocean people food.
It is swamp people food, first of all.
No, Morgan corrected that it is ocean people food.
It
is also, we said it was also swamp people food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bog people.
Not bog people, but swamp people would eat Todd.
But it's kind of ocean food, definitely, though. Anchovies, yes. More than swamp people.
I think Zoe saw that, and she's just like, you know what? Maybe just ignore the cute idiot. Just, I don't know what the fuck that was. Wasn't an attack. Promise.
Do they respond to Todd being thrown in the other room?
Not taking the bait, the siren leans into Barnabas's face.
Hey, let's not do this, friend.
Raz keeps his eyes closed because he's aware of the message of not looking them in the eye, and is just ready for the worst.
The siren delicately runs one of its razor-sharp claws against Barnabas's cheek.
Yeah, Zoe's just gonna push Barnabas back out of the way and, like, stand right in front of the things, like, hey, friend, hey, remember me? Let's just, like, not do whatever it is you're doing right now.
The siren holds its claw against Barnabas's chin, and after a moment, lets its arm drop. It saunters away, out a door in the opposite direction from where Roz tossed Todd.
Zoe's gonna follow, I guess?
Trailing behind the siren, Zoe sees it leave through the house's back door.
While they're following, Zoe's gonna, like, text the group chat. Do not attack. Please, for the love of God, do not attack this thing.
What did she say?
And just, like, a lot. And apparently they were owed food, and that's why they were killing people. And I don't know, like, honestly, I think that the clear action that we need to take is voting out the town council, because clearly they do not have our best interests at heart. Anyways, they're gonna leave, but we just have to not attack.
As though... cautiously tries to follow the siren out the door and into the backyard, she bumps into an invisible barrier.
Can I shine it with my screwdriver? No, not Sonic. Yeah.
It's not a screwdriver.
Morgan's scanner once again beeps, whirls, and clicks in the presence of a force field.
Okay, Morgan's gonna go book at it.
It just feels like a wall.
Are we able to move through the, like, the hole that we walked in through, like the window, or does that also feel like a wall?
Isolde's gonna go check that out.
The windows remain unobstructed.
I'm gonna climb out, and I'm gonna go around to where that door exits and take a look.
Making her way around the house, Isolde bumps into another invisible wall at the side of the house.
Oh my gosh, okay. So, Isolde goes back through the window. She's pretty nimble. Back through the window to where they are. Says, well, we were not trapped. The window's still open. If then with that wrist, I'm so sorry. But I tried to go around and I'm running into the same problem. I don't know what. I didn't think a siren could do something like that. I, or else might be with us, just kind of giving Barnabas the once-over, trying to figure out what's going on there.
Have we taken our earbuds off at that point?
Isolde has.
Okay, well, if Isolde does it, like, Morgan also does it. Because Isolde knows best.
Oh, that's... Oh, no. Oh, no. Not very much no.
Why do you all do this?
Can we still see the siren?
It went through the back door. So, the siren went. Like, it passed through, right?
But as I'm saying, has it gotten out of sight at this point? Just because I just want...
Oh, yeah. It's gone.
So, wait, sorry, Isolde, what did you say? That it actually...
The same problem that we're having back here, I'm having when I try to go around the house in any other fashion where I should be able to walk through. We can still get out of the house through the window. It's just that there's a divider of some kind.
Yeah.
Have any of you seen this before?
Just, Jimmy goes up to the back door and puts his hand on the magic thing and he shouts after the siren. He says, "Hold up! Hold up! We've got unfinished business. You killed my friend."
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Rash just starts walking to the other side of the house.
Me? Maybe we can deal with this another time?
Oh, I'm not saying I'm dealing with it now. I'm just letting it know.
I'm gonna grab Barnabas. Like, hey, no sweating up.
Unseen, the siren's voice echoes again in Zoe's head.
Did we kill his partner tonight?
Okay, first Zoe just like grabs Barnabas because he's walking all over the place, I suppose. Then like runs out of the house or whatever and is just like, "What? Who did you kill?"
The partner, the man. Is screaming about. Did he go missing tonight?
Jimmy, so when did your partner die?
About 6 months ago. This thing was wearing his face today.
6 months ago. Apparently you look like him.
I didn't kill your partner, sir. Something else killed him long before.
He says no. Sorry, Jimmy.
Jimmy says, "Fair enough. I totally take your word for it, siren person."
I did kill something 6 months ago. I did use that form recently, but that thing wasn't human.
Yeah, your partner wasn't human, bud. Sorry to tell you this.
That thing had stolen someone else's face.
Your partner wasn't your part. Oh my god, this drama is better than a telenovela. Keep talking. I need more details. Come on.
No. Ask them what this force field is.
So what the heck? Can you like share what the fuck you're hearing right
it's
now?
It's really hard. Okay, so the partner apparently was something else So whoever Jimmy's partner was, that wasn't really him. He wasn't the per- This is- th- None of this is gonna come out right. Okay. Jimmy's partner was already a monster when Jimmy met him.
I talked to the ghost of this gentleman. He didn't mention anything about that.
So maybe it was killed before the siren killed the creature.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
Oh, shit.
That makes things very convoluted.
Well, that also explains why he didn't go to Cats with me that time.
Sure. Siren friend, are we clear? Are we in the clear? You're not going to hurt anyone else, right? Like, you're just going to...
Zoe waits for a response. None comes.
Okay, I think we're in the clear. I don't hear him. Yeah, sorry about that, Jimmy. I don't know you very well, and so, you know, I can only offer my condolences. I'm just here because I'm in charge of this idiot, and she points to Barnabas, and also that one over there, and points to Fen. So, I'm just kind of in charge of those two, so I don't know what the fuck's going on with you guys tonight, but good luck with that.
Well, it appears your expertise was invaluable, Zoe. I didn't know to be expecting you, but I'm glad you were here.
Yeah, what's up with you being able to, like, speak with a siren?
Oh, I'm like a weird psychic thing.
I mean, Isolde is too. That's why I'm wondering, like, what you...
Huh.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, I'm just, I don't know. I suddenly had psychic powers, like, recently. Like, I could read Fen's mind that one time during poker. It was really weird.
Which, by the way, is totally cheating.
I was winning, like you said.
What are rules?
Actually, I didn't win. I completely fucked up that whole game of poker, but that's beside the point.
You cheated and you didn't even win.
So, where are you with the dead?
Like near a grave? Like, what do you mean? Like,
can you converse with them, or?
I prefer not to, but, like, I don't know, shit happens.
I'm just curious, that's sort of where I stand, and...
Oh, if you subscribe to Zoe's Patreon, she'll tell you all about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I do, like...
page?
Yeah, I have, like, a YouTube channel where I just kind of do all of my spooky, like, you know, videos. Sometimes I... And, like, she looks at Jimmy, and then, like, kind of, sometimes I break into some haunted houses. But, like, you know, it's totally fine. No one lives there anymore.
It's like that urban exploration.
There you go, yes. And okay. I just... You know, I film a lot of stuff, I do some research, and that's what I do. That's my job.
I was a little bit aware of that. I'll have to look further into it. Are your fans? That's what they come to your channel for, is you can hear little psychic things and you break into houses and...
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's just pleasure to meet you again. It's been a little while, but...
Yeah, how's that creepy little doll thing?
She's fine.
Glad to hear it, and that you are not the recipient of some unwanted curse, because that's what my, you know, immediate thought was.
Not at all. No. I don't subscribe to the idea of, the ball and chain. So.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, that's great. Yeah, I wish we could say the same for this guy, but we're kind of stuck with this demon bitch.
So when they started talking about Zoe's Patreon, Raz was like, okay, danger's gone, and turned back into Barry.
Yes, I'm afraid I won't be... I don't think I'll be selling my soul anytime soon, like he requested, but...
Oh, yeah, he's always looking for souls for some reason. He never offers you anything in return, which is, like, kind of defeats the purpose of a bargain.
Just wants the soul?
He
just
Raz wants takes, the soul. Raz takes back over.
It's a very valuable thing.
Is it? Like, what do you do with the soul? Like, what? Is it food?
I assume he eats it, yeah.
I mean, have you had a soul?
No!
Spoken to a few?
I definitely have a soul.
Well, you should taste it sometime.
Okay.
This is a bit unorthodox, Mr. Crawley. Is there any chance you could take back over? Well, if you want some help with that ever, just, you know.
Desperately?
Oh, suppose we have to address that then in an upcoming interaction.
You know, we're going to see a specialist about it soon. Don't worry.
Hey, Fen, do you need help with that wrist? Do you want me to look at it? I have some...
I feel like if I eat enough of Nihilus's food, I'll be fine, but if you'd like to look at it, And then Fen remembers that Morgan is like a monsterologist and goes, I think I'll just go eat some of Nihilus's food.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'm very curious about this Nihilus person.
Oh, he's great. Go to the Gilded Pheasant. His food will basically
change your life.
Yeah, honestly. Make like, everything just, better. Yeah.
Like you're just like eating all those muffins all the time, and apparently it's great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Also, we should probably get Ben to Nihilus sooner than later if you want to tag along.
Ideally, yes.
Mm.
Well, we wouldn't want to impose. I mean,
you're not imposing. It's a
knowing Nihilus, he would say the more the merrier.
If there is someone for Nihilus to feed, he will attempt to feed them.
Okay.
Getting kind of late, I guess.
Let's all fucking go to the Gilded Pheasant.
Jimmy, this is so much better than the Red Robin. You have no idea how much better than the Red Robin.
Guys, you seem lovely. And genuinely, we can hang out again, maybe. But I just found out that my best friend might not have been my best friend. And... and may have been a creature that up until about 25 minutes ago, I didn't believe existed. So, I'm maybe going to go home and ruminate, but it is all, can I chat to you just?
Yeah, I was going to.
Just a little side for a second. Just over here for a second. Just for a very, very brief thing. So, we take over. You know the way you contacted Paul? Did he seem normal?
He did. That's what I wanted to tell you. I understand needing to ruminate, but I talked to someone named Paul who remembered you and cared about you and was glad that you are where you are. So I think you can rest a bit easy knowing that there was a friend somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Do you think maybe I could come around sometime and you could contact him again?
Free of charge.
Well, I wasn't offering to pay. But yeah, that's lovely. That's perfect. I don't know what this restaurant is, but I might want to go do a little bit of investigating myself, and I also need to smooth things over with my police connections because my car is currently a burning wreck on the side of the road back there, and there may be some DNA evidence linking several people to murders. So I might just head off, but thank you so much for inviting me and letting me join your little group. You'll hear from me again, if that's okay.
Of course. We, you know where to find us. It's good to have you, Jimmy.
And if you ever need me, here's my landline. It's the only way you can contact me.
I am glad to find a kindred spirit in that regard.
Thanks. And then with that, Jimmy just looks around and waves at everyone else and says goodbye and then walks off.
Hey, Jimmy, wait a sec. Sorry. I wanted to ask you, if you really need to, like, take your mind off this weird partner thing, could you look into the whereabouts of Peter Evans? Like, just around, if maybe you're a private investigator, right?
Yeah, I can do that.
Are you aware? Yeah, okay, good, that'd be neat. You have my, I have your number now.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Okay, here's mine. If you find something, please. They just scribble something and send it to you. And that was nice having you around.
Oh, yeah, it was lovely. And also, you just reminded me of something. I'm shirtless. So Jimmy goes back up and grabs his shirt off the window, shakes off the glass,
puts it back on. Oh, God, there's glass in it, Jimmy.
Jimmy, no.
I shook off the glass. And put it back on and says goodbye. Bye. Bye. Oh, but he looks over at Delilah and says, but tell your sword, we also have unfinished business.
Barnabas, Finn, Zoe, and Morgan's phone all start ringing. It's Morgan's dad, who has just gotten word there was a massive car accident.
Yeah, oh, Finn is completely ignoring that phone call. They never answer phone calls from Morgan's dad. Finn's gonna go talk. Jimmy, listen, I know you're gonna go smooth some things over with cops regarding your vehicle. When I say I'm undercover, I mean even the Reddington cops don't know about this, so just don't mention anything, okay?
Agent Darrow, your secret is safe with me. They didn't call me Jimmy Tightlips for nothing. I mean, they didn't call me Ginny Tightlips, but if they did, it would have been for keeping my lips tight.
You know, I'm here at Alcacion. I don't know when your partner was replaced, if that was towards the end or before you even met him, but, I mean, something doesn't have to be human to be someone's best friend.
Oh. That's lovely. You seem like you might have experience with this. Are you a cat owner?
No, not at the moment, but in the past it's been a thing. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, Agent Darrow, and I'll whisper now, Finn, Fen, whatever you're going by now, thank you very much. That gives me great solace. And then Jimmy turns and starts walking down the road, humming Watermelon Sugar to himself.
Sticking his hands deep into his pockets, Jimmy feels something in his left pocket. It is a ticket to the midnight showing of Cats.
He reaches down, he pulls it out, and he goes, "Ah, that covering up that evidence can wait."
Hey, Delilah, are we good? Shulster and Cuff.
Oh, yeah, hopefully those sirens are dealt with. I don't actually know what just happened, to be very honest.
And by the way, the force fields are gone. The shimmering thing?
Mm-hmm.
They're not here anymore. I don't know what that means. If it means somebody put them there temporarily. But yeah, they're gone. And sirens are gone too, maybe.
Hopefully they're gone as I unlock the handcuffs.
I think what Zoe does is when, I guess she got that fucking phone call, she like picks up.
Oh, true, yeah.
And immediately is just like, "Hello, ¿quién está llamando?" And then when they like try to say something, and she's just like, "I know, señor, lo siento, pero no entiendo inglés," and just hangs up and is like, "Fuck that, I'm not dealing with this tonight."
A couple of days later, there have been no subsequent siren sightings. The final count of missing persons is 50, but no more since that night.
Shit!
Sorry.
50!
50-5-0!
I think Zoe's going to wake up in a cold sweat at night at one point. She's just like, should I have been more sensitive about that guy's partner? Nah, it's probably fine. And like, goes back to sleep. Zoe wakes up again in a cold sweat, and she's like, did I call him cute? And then goes back to sleep.
A few days after that, the news has calmed down. Each member of the Siren Squad finds a present on their counters.
The town council really needs to stop doing not this bullshit. It's getting on my
like
nerves.
It.
The packages are tidily wrapped in a classy green paper. Jimmy unwraps his to find a shiny new iPhone. Everyone else finds a voucher for admissions to any showing of Cats at the Reddington Movie Palace, a top-of-the-line cell phone with all sorts of bells and whistles, and a note that simply reads, "Thank you, W." Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alice Hart and Alex Lavelle, who also handles the script, and is produced by Algie Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art, and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks for the finale for Flurgy Quest. We understand that money is tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of the Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Alice Hart as Delilah Fleece,
Lauren Tucker as Isolde Finnegan,
Cam Clark as Morgan LaPointe Evans,
Beze Rothstein as Barnabas Crowley,
Algie Todd as Fen Green,
Reese Tirado playing Xiomara Hernandez.
And today's guests include Ollie Brady as Jimmy Tightlips, Adam Bailey as Charlie E. Benedict, Gaynor Norcott as Benedict, and Meg Griffin as the Sirens.